Galatians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 20 this morning. It's found on page 1036 in the Pew Bible. Verses 12 through 20 of chapter 4. Let us hear God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of my physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I have labored and birthed again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. So ends the reading of God's word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are that you speak to us through your word. You've preserved it down through the ages for us, and we have your holy, inspired, inerrant word. And now we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to teach us to apply your word to our hearts, for we are all sinners, and we need you to teach us. So we pray that you will do that and you will speak through this sinful preacher, and that you will bless every word, that you will direct every word, that it will honor you. Thank you for it. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Normally in their junior or senior year, high school parents often will have their children meet with and shadow those who are working in certain careers that they're interested in order to help them see and understand what they might experience and what they can expect in that career, so that they might know what's going on and know what it would be like. And they may have them do that a day or a couple days. It just depends. So that they'll know, you know, what it's going to be like. So they just don't study in that field and then get into a job or career and say, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I thought I was going to be doing. So that they can know that. Well, as the Apostle Paul continues in his defense of justification by grace through faith alone, with the Galatians, he reveals here in this section of Scripture, I believe, what you can expect to experience at times in serving your Savior, and what you need to be ready for or ready to do for Him as you serve Him. I think we can see that in his defense as he speaks to the Galatians here. What we can expect at times in serving our Savior, and what you and I need to understand if we're going to serve Him, what we need to be understanding, what we need to do in serving Him. So let's look together at verses 12 through 20 and consider this. There are three major points I'd like you to consider. The first one is be willing to sacrifice when serving your Savior. That's found in verses 12 through 15. Be willing to sacrifice when serving your Savior.
verses 12 through 15.
The second main point is to be committed to truth when serving your Savior in verses 16 through 18. Be committed to truth when serving your Savior in verses 16 through 18. Then thirdly, be consistently faithful when serving your Savior in verses 19 through 20. Be consistently faithful when serving your Savior in verses 19 through 20. So let's look at each point individually here. First of all, be willing to sacrifice when serving your Savior in verses 12 through 15. Now, there are three things I'd like you to consider here in these verses. Three things about being willing to sacrifice when serving your Savior. First of all, why I believe he's presenting this here, because number one, there can be abandonment. There can be abandonment. You see this in verse 12. Paul says in verse 12, I urge you, brethren, to become like me. Become like me. Now, why does he say that? Because they at one time were. They followed Paul's teaching. And they now had turned away from that. They listened to Paul. He poured out his life on the Galatians. But now they seem to have forgotten about him and all that he did. It was around 400 AD on his first missionary trip that Paul went to the Galatians. And he wanted them to remember how he was when he was with them and how they responded to him. They wanted them to remember his example and what he taught them. If he turns back to Philippians, he says this as well to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 9. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, he says this, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. Paul says to them, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've seen in me, look at my example, do these things. And the Galatians weren't doing that anymore. And Paul's heart was broken. Jesus, the truth of our Lord Jesus, was abandoned. The truth of the gospel. And that happens. It happens often, unfortunately. It happened to Jesus. And you might say, could it be? Yes, it did, in his preaching and teaching. And some often refer to this as a church split, that Jesus had a major church split. You see this in John chapter 6, verse 61. Turn there with me, if you would, please. John chapter 6, verse 61. Listen to what happens. John chapter 6, verse 61. When Jesus begins to talk about his sovereignty and salvation. Found on page 945 in the Pew Bible. 945. Verse 61, he says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend from where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. Look at this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away? Do you too want to go away? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I think Peter was saying, we don't really understand it either, Lord, but you have the words of eternal life. See, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Same thing happened. All these people that were following him, when he speaks what he says in verse 6, and especially when he talks about sovereignty and salvation, he said, we've had enough. This can't be true about him, his sovereignty, and the Father choosing. And, well, we don't want this. And they many walked away. Major church splits. Abandonment. You see that. So that's what can happen. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to experience that in serving your Savior. You can experience that. Misunderstood, rejected, that's what can happen. Secondly, there can be rejection. There can be rejection. Not only abandonment, but rejection. Notice in verse 15 of chapter 4 where it says, what then was the blessing you enjoyed? And I think that refers to what Paul, what was their response to Paul. Paul presented the gospel, and they felt overwhelmed. They felt blessed. They thought this was a wonderful thing. Paul went through all kinds of suffering for the sake of the gospel, even for them. 2 Corinthians 11 talks about everything he went through, all the suffering and troubles he went through for the gospel, for the churches, and even for the Galatians. And Paul says to them, what about the blessing you went through? In verse 15, what then was the blessing? You all talked about this wonderful blessing, the gospel coming to you, and how you believe. What then was it? You said you had this blessing and it was so wonderful. You believed and you trusted in the Lord Jesus. Then you have a blessing? What was it then? You said that. Where was it? What is it? What was it? Doesn't seem to be there anymore. They rejoice in the blessing with him. The gospel touched their hearts and they seemed that they wanted to live for the Lord. But now, it's not there anymore. But that can happen to people. It truly can happen. Remember what happened with Paul and Demas. 2 Timothy. I'll read this to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. About a man named Demas who was working with Paul in the ministry and was very profitable for him. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, he says to Timothy chapter 4, 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And from that point on, we hear nothing of Demas. Nothing at all. Nothing, church history, about Demas. He was gone. Loved the world. Seed was sown on bad soil. Never a true believer at all. And that can happen. There can be rejection when things get tough and hard. Thirdly, there can be heartache. There can be heartache. You see as you read through verses 12 through 15 of chapter 4 as we read it, you can feel Paul's heartache. Paul labored with physical disability. Notice, end of verse 15. If possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Many believe that this was Paul's thorn in the flesh. We don't know for sure. But the fact that when he was blinded on the Damascus Road and he received his vision, that the Lord didn't give him back his complete vision, but we don't know for sure. Verse 13, he says, I preached the gospel to you. It's in a middle voice, which means I announced myself. I did this myself. I came to you in my physical infirmity. He says, you didn't despise. You didn't despise. Despise means to utterly regard as nothing. And you didn't reject. You didn't despise. You did or reject. Awful word which means to spit out. Abominate. That's the word reject means. Spit out or abominate. You didn't do that. And then it's a real sharp contrast. This word but. Very emphatic. And he said you would have plucked out your own eyes if possible. That word means to dig out. A vivid and brutal expression of digging in real hard and plucking out. You would have done that for me. But now, what has happened? Do you feel his heartache? But Paul loved them. He really loved them. I'm not saying this is always going to happen to you, but I'm saying it can happen to you. But don't let that discourage you. Remember Hebrews 6:10-12, the Lord never forgets what you do for Him. He loves you, He never forgets, He's gracious to you. Always remember. But sometimes this will happen. Look what Jesus went through. Are you better than Him? He is your servant. You are not better than He. Secondly, my second main point, verses 16 through 18. Be committed to truth when serving your Savior. Be committed to truth when serving your Savior. First of all, three things here as well. Truth can cause conflict. Truth can cause conflict. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Interesting, isn't it? The Galatians were treating Paul as an enemy, most likely because the Galatians were telling them to do so. They wanted them to distance themselves from Paul so that they could have control over them. Paul was saying, they're telling you that because I'm telling you the truth. And you see, the truth was what was causing the conflict. And Paul doesn't compromise on that. And neither should you at any time. There'll be people who will say, well, you know, I think you're a little harsh in this area. You're a little too strong in this area. Why don't you just kind of soften your position in this or kind of compromise on this and then we can all get along. Then maybe we'll be okay. Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't compromise on anything. Doesn't do that at all. But see, the Judaizer says, stay away from Paul. Don't listen to him anymore. He's not teaching the truth. You may experience that in your service. See, that's what the cults do. The cults tell them to stay away from people who say anything that's different than what they teach. And you see, if you don't say anything, no one will bother you. No one's going to say anything to you if you don't say anything. If someone says something that's false or false gospel or false teaching, You don't say anything, no one's going to bother you. But our gospel does cause conflict to people that are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18 does say that. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul says, "Have I become your enemy?" This word for enemy means one who is really hated. And when Paul says, "Have I become your enemy for telling you the truth?" Paul says, "Continually telling you." Apparently, Paul was getting message continually to these Galatians. And he writes them, "I'm continually telling you this. Am I really hated by you for telling you this? For continually trying to talk to you and get you to respond?" Truth can cause conflict. Secondly, truth can be distorted. Truth can be distorted. Now, Paul says it's good to be zealous in good things, verse 18. "But it's good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you." See, Paul's saying you need to be committed to good things, to the truth, not only when I'm with you, but when I'm not with you. Paul says make sure you're zealous for good things. But, you see, they weren't. The Judaizers came along, so they adopted what the Judaizers were saying. You know, there are certain people, unfortunately, who are like chameleons. That whoever they're with, they become like those people. So if this group comes to them, they listen to them, they become like them. When they go with you, they become like you. They go somewhere else, they become like them. Maybe the Galatians were like them. We had a family that came here not too long ago. Couldn't handle the teaching of sanctification because it meant looking at your own life and taking aim at it, dealing with it, and confessing sin on a daily basis, realizing that justification was once and for all, but the sanctification was a problem. So they went back to the Roman Catholic Church. He found it was easier to confess his sin at the confessional and receive grace through the sacraments and not have to worry about anything. A salvation by works, which is no gospel at all. And of course, when I tried to contact him, it was like Paul trying to contact the Galatians. Truth can be distorted. Thirdly, truth can destroy fellowship. Truth can destroy fellowship. Look at verse 17. "They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them." If the Galatians turn back to Paul, the Judaizers will ridicule them and criticize them. Paul's not with them, but they are. You see, truth can destroy fellowship and friendship. That's what can happen. Now, we're talking about the essentials of the gospel here. Justification by grace through faith alone. The essentials of the gospel. And that will destroy fellowship. They want to exclude you. They don't want you to listen to me. And that destroys fellowship. And the true gospel will. Now, when the true gospel is involved, we have what I call circles of fellowship. Those who believe where we are probably like an inner circle. Maybe a small circle. Reformed and Presbyterian, here to doctrines of grace and where we are, regulative principle of worship. Then there's this bigger circle where people who are not where we are, and maybe in worship and things like that, that we can have fellowship, but our fellowship may be limited in some of the things that we have. Then there's a bigger circle where maybe they're Reformed, but they're not Presbyterian, and we can have some fellowship with them. Then maybe it's a bigger circle. There are people who are not necessarily committed to the things that we're committed to, but they're believers, and they're trusting in the Lord. But you see, that doesn't refer to what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the true gospel. True gospel will destroy fellowship. And thirdly, be consistently faithful when serving your Savior. Verses 19 through 20. Notice the difficulty of faithfulness, first of all. The difficulty of faithfulness. Verse 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Paul compares his heartache and inner conflict to that of a mother in pain, in labor, and giving birth. What they were doing did hurt Paul because he really cared for them. It's difficult, very difficult, when you pour your life into someone or some people and they turn away from you or lie about you. Maybe they won't even talk to you. Again, that's when the verse in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll read that. Hebrews chapter 6 is so important. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, don't give up, to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish and imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. See, it's not like a business or sales that when everything, you lose everything, you're a failure. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe everything falls apart. With the Lord, when you serve Him and people turn away and there's nothing left, the Lord never forgets. And that's credited to your account, what you've done. It's not like it's all lost. The Lord remembers everything. Everything you've done, it's never forgotten. It's not wasted. It's not lost. It's not a mistake. It's nothing wrong. It's good. The Lord remembers. Paul says, I've labored in vain. But the Lord never forgets. Secondly, notice the desire of faith, of faithfulness. Notice the desire to be when and being consistently faithful with service. Notice the desire he has. I would like to be present with you. Verse 28. I would like to be present with you now and change my tune. If you, like Paul, want to be those with you who are rejecting the truth or those who are believing lies about you, so you can explain the gospel clearly and what you've taught them. Paul is saying, I am continually desiring to be with you. That's the verb that's used here. I am continually, I would like to be present with you now continually. He wants to do that continually. And that's the desire. That's what he wants to do. Continually want to be with you. It's not like he has forgotten them. It's not like it's all over. But Paul has not been able to do that. 1 Corinthians 16:9 He talks about doors being open. For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries, but the Lord had opened a door for him. And then in Colossians chapter 4, 3, he says this, "Meanwhile, pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." So he's saying, pray that the Lord will open a door. So it wasn't always, Paul wasn't always able to do what he wanted to do. But Paul wanted to be there and he couldn't. So that's the desire of God's people, to be there, to be able to straighten out things where there's, where the things that's being taught that are wrong, or there's lies being propagated about you. Thirdly, notice the concern of the faithfulness. The concern of faithfulness. Paul says, "I have doubts." The end of verse 20. Paul says, "I have doubts." Actually, the word, the Greek word is aporeo, which means perplexed or confused. It's translated doubt. Paul says, "I am very perplexed. I'm very concerned. I'm very confused about your standing with the Lord." See, Paul was concerned because there is no evidence at this point or no fruit of salvation. Paul says we need to question that person's salvation. Paul says that to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:13 when he was speaking to the Corinthians with all their problems. He says, 13:5, after going through all these things, I don't have the right verse. Wrong passage, scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says to them, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you know you are disqualified." Paul saying to them, he says to the Corinthians, examine yourself. There's no fruit. Where's the fruit if you're really a believer? Paul wanted to meet with them to see if they would respond to his correction. Will you listen to me? Could be there in person, so he was hoping that they would respond to his admonition. So, this was what Paul went through in this section of Scripture in speaking to the Galatians. And we can see a pattern of serving our Savior. Serving your Savior. Willing to sacrifice while serving your Savior. Be committed to truth when serving your Savior. Be consistently faithful when serving your Savior. You might say, "Well, I can't handle all of this." Paul says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The Lord gives grace to his people. He will give you strength and wisdom to do all he calls you to do. He will even give you the words to speak, Matthew 10, to serve your Savior wherever he leads you. If you're here and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, I encourage you to believe of him, to go to him for salvation, acknowledge your sin, and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and become a real believer. Serve him wherever you go, wherever he leads you. And remember his promise. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you."